Amen. Negroes must sit in the back of the bus. That's what the sign said. And that was the law of the land, at least in some states. Some of you are old enough to remember when signs of racial segregation were posted in many of the states in our country. And so if an African American wanted to get on a bus, they had to sit in the back. That was the law of the land, at least in the South. Bathrooms, whites only. If you wanted to go to a bathroom and you were an African American, you had to go to ones that were designated just for you. And if you were an African American in the South and you wanted to have lunch at the department store lunch counter, well, you couldn't. You couldn't sit down and order a club sandwich because, well, you were the wrong color. But in November of 1956, the Supreme Court issued a ruling saying that racial segregation of buses in Montgomery, Alabama was unconstitutional. That very next month in December, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. ended a boycott of those bus lines. African Americans, for the very first time in the South, were allowed to get onto a bus and sit in any available seat. Now, Dr. King knew that these African Americans who would now be getting on these buses were going to face some hostility. They were going to face some abuse. They might even face some violence. But he told them, as you enter into the darkness of racial hatred, you have one option available to you. Be the light. That's what he said. And for the most part, that's what they did. They shined a light. And in order for them to understand what that meant, he wrote a list of instructions, typed it up on a piece of paper, a list of instructions for how the African-American community was to behave now that they were getting some sort of racial integration on these buses. Fortunately, that sheet of paper, now yellowed, still exists. And among other things, Dr. King wrote this, that you are to demonstrate calm dignity in all your actions, that in all things you are to show forth courtesy and good behavior, that you are to be loving enough to absorb evil, be understanding enough to turn an enemy into a friend. If cursed, do not curse back. If struck, do not strike back. Pray for your oppressors. Use spiritual force to carry out your struggle for justice. Can you imagine? We've actually had times in our American history where our leaders have called us to spiritual greatness. You know, as I was thinking about these instructions that Dr. King gave to the African American community in the South, I was thinking, what he's telling them to do is a hard thing. There had been a long history in our country up to that point of the African-American community experiencing all kinds of hostility, abuse, oppression, violence, hatred, even lynchings. In effect, what he was saying is, as you enter into this world, with all of its darkness, with all of its cruelty, you are to show dignity. You are to extend love. You are to be nonviolent. Prayer and the things of the Spirit is that which will give you strength. And as I was thinking about these instructions that Dr. King gave to that particular community, I was thinking about Jesus and how in today's text, he was giving instructions to his followers about how they were to enter into the darkness of the world that they would find themselves. A world of incredible cruelty, a world of incredible injustice, a world of brokenness and darkness. And he gives them the instruction, go, be the light. Not unlike Dr. King telling his followers who are getting onto those buses, go and be the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So go, be salt. Go, be light. Go and do what's right. Do what's just. Do what's loving. Be Christ-like in every situation. When we were kids, we had that song, didn't we? We loved that song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We love that song, love singing it. We thought that at the time that was a fairly easy thing to do. Just go and show your light. But when we were kids, we didn't consider how much that would cost. We didn't consider, at least most of us, the intense darkness of this world into which we were called to bring light. We didn't even begin to fathom the kinds of circumstances that would be before us in this world into which we had to be light bearers. We didn't even think about it. Because when we were a child, it seemed so easy. And then we became teenagers. And we started to hang out with our friends. And we started to see underage drinking. Perhaps the use of marijuana or other drugs. We knew it was wrong, but there was such pressure to stay quiet, to not say anything, just to conform, to go along with the crowd. We knew it was darkness. We didn't know what to do. Jesus said, "Let your light shine." Then we went to college. College culture being what it is, of course, we ended up at parties, and at parties we saw not just underage drinking, we saw binge drinking. We saw casual sex. And we thought to ourselves, this isn't right. But how do you go about changing a whole college culture? Jesus said, let your light shine. Then we found ourselves in our workplace. And some of us found ourselves in a workplace that was quite toxic. People were not treating each other with much care or dignity. There were things that were going on that seemed immoral. The ways in which people treated each other and belittled each other, it made our stomach turn even getting up in the morning thinking about going back to that place. We just wanted to escape. And then we thought about Jesus' command, let your light shine. And we look around at the world in which we live, and we look at our policies that are in existence, our economic policies, we look at our social policies, and we see people who are on the fringes of our society being pushed even further to the fringes. We see the homeless continuing to be homeless. In fact, numbers are being added to the homeless. We see hungry people continuing to be hungry, afflicted people continuing to be afflicted. We don't see any kind of improvement, and we think to ourselves, what are we to do to change the world? I can't change the world. And then we remember Jesus saying, let your light shine. And we look at our families, and we see the alienation that sometimes happens within families, between family members and family members. Our hearts are filled with grief over the loss of a loved one. We look at all the problems that some of our families face, and it's almost like we see big storm clouds coming that are about to engulf us. What are we to do? How are we to go on, we ask. And then we remember Jesus' words, let your light shine. You know, I think sometimes Satan would love for us to throw up our hands at the whole thing and just say, you know, look, the darkness is too dark. The circumstances are too difficult. The problems are too immense. I can't make a difference. I don't know what I'm going to do. You look at 2016, a very dark year for a lot of people. Oh, the political anger that we heard and the dialogue, it was toxic. The violence, the warfare, the terrorism, people shooting up our own country, a priest standing behind the altar, giving mass in France and beheaded while serving the Lord in that capacity. And we think about the darkness in our world, and we just think, I'm going to throw up my hands at this because I'm not sure I can handle any more of this. I'm not sure what I can do to address this. Satan would love it if we did just that. But we have a very hard, a very difficult calling as baptized members of the body of Christ. As God's baptized, we have been given a vocation to, no matter where we might find ourselves, to let our light shine, to shine our light on our college campuses, to shine our light within our families, to shine our light within our workplaces, with all the toxic stuff going on there, with all that's going on in the world, with all the homelessness and the poverty and the hunger, the care for refugees and everything else that we're facing as a country. We're called to actually do something about it. We're not called to throw up our hands, but instead called by Jesus to let our light shine. That's the calling, the vocation each and every one of us have been given. You know, if you want another spiritual guru, you can find plenty of them on the internet. Just search for it. You'll find it. You'll find plenty of voices out there that'll promise you everything and demand of you nothing. But, if you want to change the world for the better, if you want to demonstrate that there is an alternative to the cruelty and hurtfulness that we find within our world, if you want to show that the way of the gospel really is the best way to live, if you want to continue the transformative work that Jesus himself started, then be a light. Be a light into the darkness. You know, death tried to extinguish the light. Death tried to take the light and seal it away in a locked tomb with guards in front of it. But that Easter morning, that light burst forth, radiant as ever, bursting forth with the eternal light of the risen Christ. And the radiance of that light can shine just as brightly today as it did then. Maybe if there's a takeaway in our scripture reading from today, it's to notice this. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." But in John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And that tells me that the light is finally not dependent on me. It doesn't come from me. It does not originate in me. The light is Christ. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the light of the world. Maybe one way of thinking about this is to think about stained glass. I used to, in my hometown, belong to a church where my dad was the pastor. It was a very large church in a very small town. We had 2,000 members in a town of 3,000 people. I mean, big church, small town. 80 kids in my high school class, 60 were in my confirmation class. We had a church with beautiful stained glass windows. And in the morning when the sun would shine, and the sun shines a lot more in Minnesota than it does here, the light would come in. And it was just a multiplicity of diverse and brilliant colors, like a rainbow of colors, just flooding the sanctuary when we would be there for Sunday morning worship. Now, of course, we would gather in that same space for evening services sometimes as well. And, of course, then the light was not shining in. You could barely even see that there was stained glass. In fact, that stained glass now just looked like it was part of the wall. But when the light was shining through, what an amazing thing that was. Maybe if we think of ourselves that way, the light of Christ shining through us is able to shine into the world in such an incredible way. And when we stay in prayerful communion with the one who is the light, then we can shine our light into any darkness that there is. No, I am not the light, and you are not the light, but Jesus is the light. And for Christians who humble themselves and allow his light to shine through them, there is not any bus. There is not any darkness into which the divine light of Christ can't burst forth in all of its radiance. May we shine forth our light, the light of Christ in us. Amen.